This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Game one tonight. Yanks and Dodgers, you got any special plans? What do you got going on for the World Series?
Okay, tonight is going to actually be really fun. My parents are coming in. They're probably not there yet. So they're coming in from Brooklyn. And, you know, we have a crazy sports night, football practice, soccer playoff game, blah, blah, blah. Come back. My mom already made a big meal. She's just going to bring it from Brooklyn to Jersey.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So that'll be tonight, and my dad's picking up a bunch of cold cuts and some eggplant for tomorrow. And then we've got
holiday weekend.
It's like Christmas Eve almost, man. And then we've got a playoff baseball game tomorrow at 9. Then I'll come back. I'm doing the show from 1 to 4.
Right, right.
And I'll be on following Joe B here on The Fan. Then my son's got a football playoff game tomorrow, which my daughter cheers with. They're basically the same age. So and my parents are coming to all the games. And tonight, it's a bottle or two of red wine after we eat, sit down, watch the game with my dad, and obviously my mom.
Right.
And everybody else, of course. My dad, who taught me the game and introduced me to my first love. And now, of course, with my son, who loves baseball, my daughter, like it, fireplace, my house. It's going to be a great night.
This is special for everybody, whether you're going out to the watch parties or whether you're watching with your family. Yeah, this is Super Bowl-esque. Your team gets in the World Series, make a big deal of it. Yeah, 8:08 first pitch, which stinks because it's a little late for the young kids.
A little earlier.
Yeah, Cole can be able to stay up the whole time. I know you're going to keep him up.
He'll stay up.
Yeah.
He'll stay.
Even for me, it's like by 11:30, I start to nod out a little bit.
I'm not saying that I don't, a little bit, my eyes get heavy. Then, of course, now it sucks. Nobody cares, but now we got to get up extra early tomorrow to play the baseball playoff game. But I mean, that's something that you deal with. And no, he's staying up. He stays up. He's Jets Monday Night Football. He stays up.
This is what it's all about. World Series, 888-808-1019. Frank is in Syosset. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Quick question and just an observation. BT, you played college level baseball. I played high school. I noticed, Sal, I'm a Yankees fan, that Minaya handled Ohtani very well in the last Mets game. He was pitching inside to him. I wanted to get you to think if you feel that, you know, if you don't allow him to extend his arms, could the Yankees be more successful in shutting him down? I noticed Minaya pretty much shut him down. He was hitting ground balls.
I think it was more Frank about the, and thanks for the call. You had a bad line there, so we appreciate it. Let you go. The arm angle from Minaya. And Minaya has just been, and you know, he started to tire out, I guess you would say, especially in that second start, which I thought was terribly disappointing. Even in the first start, he did tire out a little bit, only being able to go 5, although he got bad defense. I think, BT, that it was more about the arm angle from Minaya and becoming one of the nastier left-handers in the game since changing to that arm angle a la Chris Sale. But I don't think there's a specific way to pitch Ohtani. Guy's just a beast.
He's a beast. He can go high. He could go low. I do think the best way, meaning that it increases the chances of success by guaranteeing absolutely nothing, don't let him extend his arms. When you give a chance to extend his arms, now suddenly those left center field home runs come to, like Soto.
Yeah, but he could pull the ball as well as anybody.
I know he could, but you now you've got to live smart inside. I'm going under his hands, and I'm not. I think and Gerrit Cole's pretty good at this. Bust inside hard, and then knuckle curve soft in the dirt. I don't know what their strategy is, but that seems like a pretty good one for me, knowing what he's good at and what Cole's good at.
Maybe the way I'm just thinking this out, because the Yankees don't have that lefty that the Mets had with Minaya, obviously, in the starting rotation, but they potentially have three with Hill, Meza, and Cortez. Maybe the way is a crafty lefty like Cortez that can come in and kind of keep him off balance and, you know, locate, you know, to keep moving it around, change location.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't think there is a specific answer to get Ohtani out, although Minaya made him look like a little leaguer in game two. He in game two of the NLCS, he made Shohei Ohtani look uncomfortable, made him look like a little leaguer. So there's, you can get him out, but I mean, that's Sean Manaea, who was one of the best pitchers in baseball this year, especially after changing that arm angle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ohtani's a great power hitter with incredible speed once he gets going. He's not hitting 320, 330. He's not Miguel Cabrera, a lefty version of that.
Right.
He's not. He's different. But you can get him out. But the difference is, if you're off by an inch, it's in the seats. You got to be perfect.
Tim is calling from Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, happy Friday. Happy World Series. Being from Long Island originally, went to Kellenberg. I know you went to Holy Trinity. But, man, no,
I didn't go to Holy Trinity.
It feels like
I didn't go to Holy
like
Trinity,
October.
But it's over.
Me neither.
Yeah, I didn't go to Holy Trinity. Who?
Oh, BC. I thought you went to Holy Trinity.
You're talking about high school? I went to Xavier in Manhattan. I didn't go to Holy Trinity.
I was to Xavier in Manhattan.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's
anyway, going back to it, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So, yeah, Ohtani is beatable, and I think Nestor Cortez, I mean, especially he's if you actually look at it, didn't he do, like, one of those, like, crazy leg kicks
yeah.
and actually struck out Ohtani, and, like, they put it on, like, reels and, like, TikTok and all that stuff or whatever. But going back to it, how come nobody's mentioned that? For me, I want to sound like Stephen A. Smith, and nobody wants to hear his name, but, man, I want to get back at Dave Roberts. I want
Dave Roberts is crazy. By the way, I don't mind.
What, the stolen base?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not getting back at Dave Roberts for that, Tim. That's over. The Red Sox won. The Yankees
had
the most epic collapse of all time. You could take the, and thanks for the call, Tim. You could take those 27 and enjoy every one of them, and maybe 28 this year. You'll always have the 0-3 blown 3-0 lead in 2004. That's always going to be part of the Yankee legacy. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know why my boy's catching strays, Stephen A. You lose, you lose. He just catching strays there. You lose, you lose. Now, yeah, in the record book, you're going to get that eventual historical reference, you know, next time a team's up 3-0 or down 3-0. Last team, I got it. It's a footnote in baseball history that will not change until you have more company. Like, you're always going to have that because you can't lose four straight games and then lose the series.
Right.
You're going to lose three and then lose the series. But, in real time, it was a crusher, especially when they kicked the crap out of them. I was at a wedding that Saturday night when they scored, 17 or 18 runs.
Yeah.
And, we were laughing. We were celebrating. Like, it's over. And it wasn't. But to me, you know, the style points on a win aren't incredibly important. And, like, a lot of the details in a loss, I don't mean for what we talk about on the air, but like, I mean down the road. Of course, details in doing shows matter. But just down the road, do I really care now that the Yankees struggled? It means nothing.
No.
I mean, whatever. Yanks are back. Dave, I don't think he's a good manager.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't, you're not trying to exact revenge on Dave Roberts for that.
I don't even think about that.
Me neither. Actually, never crossed my mind once until you just brought it up.
I mean, it did only because it's been referenced a few. Not that I need revenge against Roberts, but hey, Dave Roberts stole the base and obviously changed things for the Yankees against the Red Sox in 04, but no, I, whatever.
Put it this way, Dave Roberts was a better base stealer than he is manager. He's a terrible manager, but the Yankees need to go win a World Series. Steve is calling from Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
For me, I'm very confident that the Yankees will win this series, either a quick one, which I'll get to, or in a long series, because I think baseball really comes down to pitching, and I think the Yankees have a significant edge, especially on the starting pitching. I don't think it's even close. If we can get two big-time performances out of Gerrit Cole, seven innings, one run, I don't think there's anyone else on either team that I can get that out of.
That's a pretty big if, though,
Steve.
That
could make it.
I agree with you, but that's a pretty big if at this point, asking for seven innings, one run from Cole twice in this series.
That's not happening.
That's what I'm saying. If I got that, I think it could be a quick series because you know that the Dodgers are going to run out of pitching very quickly, which, by the way, is what happened to the Yankees when they lost to the Red Sox. They basically, and when they got, when they were up, you know, 3-0 and then lost, the Yankees ran out of pitching. I think the same thing is going to happen to the Dodgers, although in this case it's going to be in the bullpen. They're going to see their relievers over and over again. And I would like the Yankees, if I get the two big performances out of Cole, I think it could be a quick series. If not, I like them in seven.
All right, well, listen, either
Thank
one
you, Steve.
Works because the Yankees win in those equations. But I also have to present the other possibility. I mean, Yankee fan or not, there's a, I don't want to say good, but there's a decent chance that neither Cole nor Rodon make it past five themselves, which then obviously taxes the Yankees bullpen, and downstream residually you're chasing your tail, you know, the rest of the series because everybody's tired.
I think you bring up an excellent point, and I know that there's a bit, like, today's a day to be excited about game one of the World Series, right? Yankee fans should be pumped up. I get it. But we've heard from a lot of Yankee fans, you yourself, BT, Nick came on. Everybody's saying Yankees are going to win this series. This is, I'm telling you, it's going to be a different animal.
It's going to be
tough.
Doesn't
mean the Yankees can't win. But the way that, like what Steve said, I agree with. He's right. The Yankees have the advantage when it comes to pitching, and pitching should matter more in the postseason. Unfortunately, that has not been the case in baseball in recent years. Also unfortunate, Gerrit Cole has not pitched like the ace that he was a year ago. For whatever the reason, he hasn't done it. Like, if Cole did this against Kansas City and Cleveland, I'd feel great about the Yankees going into this series, believing that he could do it. Now, he can do it, but he hasn't done it. So why would I think that against a better lineup all of a sudden, Cole's going to give you seven innings, one run twice in a series? If he does it, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he did do it once against the Royals, the seven innings, the one run. I think it was five or six hits. But as so far, based on his postseason starts, that's a bit of the outlier because the other couple have been not good. Now, he also went the distance. I don't have the date in front of me against the A's at the end of the season where he went nine. Yep. And that was a little surprising that he stretched him out that long. I mean, he's got the moxie. He's got the stuff. See, the key for Cole, and Gerrit, see, here's what's really, this is where he's just not quite the same guy and the impact that it has downstream for him. So he was always able to put guys away right away. You know, pump the fastball on the black 99, bang, strike one. Drop in the knuckle hook, whatever he's dropping it, boom, strike two. Now the hitter's guessing, and he's got three or four options. But now, because the fastball's still really good, but it's not quite what it was, and the other pitches are good, but not quite unhittable. Now guys flick a few, you know, foul. Now he's got to try to nibble just a tick more ball outside. And now all of a sudden, there's too many times Gerrit Cole's thrown 20, 21, 22 pitches in the first inning. And that is a recipe to take a shower by inning number six. It just is.
Yeah, I mean, I love Gerrit Cole, and I think he is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yep.
He has not been that this year.
No,
and
he hasn't been.
And against this lineup, if he does it, they're going to win. I don't think he's going to do it. Chris is calling from Bay Shore. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good show. Listen, I think I think the Yankees will win, and I think the reason they'll win will be the pitching. Because I just think it's deeper, and I think they'll wear down the pen for the Dodgers, and that'll wind up being a difference. And I think the role players will play great, so that's why I think they're going to win.
Chris, I got a question for you. Hold on, I know you had another point. So I hope you're right. Role players will play great. Where's the evidence that Chisholm's going to have a good series? Where's the evidence? He was awful. He's got one hit last series. Where's the evidence?
There is none. Just based on the fact that
you hope that happens, which is not fact. It's hope, which is fine.
That's true. But he would be the difference because of how many things he can do with the power and speed. But,
he's the wild card.
He definitely is. And you know, it's baseball. You got to execute. And one day you come to the park and all of a sudden everything falls and things go well. So
yes, sir.
It's good to have him, you know. But I got another quick theory on that World Series. I think baseball is shooting itself in the foot. I mean, I remember I'm older than you guys, but I remember running home from school, you know, 3 o'clock to catch the third or fourth inning, and that's just not possible anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it should be. And thank you for the call, Chris. I don't think that I don't mind afternoon playoff games. I love the 5:08 starts. I don't think there should be World Series games being played in the afternoon.
Me neither.
I like now.
Give me a 7:07 first pitch.
Exactly. I don't need an 8 o'clock either.
I know,
but
it's 8:08.
It's just too late.
So when you look up and it's the bottom of the third and it's 9:51, you're like, we got a long night. That's better than not having a World Series game to watch when the Yankees are in it. But you know, you're in for a battle.
And by the way, like it goes long if it's 3 hours. And odds are it's going to probably be 3.5 hours. I would say they'd average 3.5 hours, maybe more on certain nights. So I just think the sport is doing itself a disservice when it comes to the 8:08 start. I don't think that they should be afternoon games, though. I'd rather a 7 o'clock start or whatever, 7:10.
Yeah, and think about this. So if they did do an afternoon game, and let's say they did it at 3, and it was this matchup, you're going to start first pitch in L.A. at 12 when the Yankees play here?
Right, no,
It's a different time. I get it. Listen, we all romanticize and wishfully, you know, wish what on some level was, but that's just not practical from an advertising perspective. And I don't even see kids walking home anymore. Like, everything's so controlled. Like, yeah. The old day, I walk home from school, you know, mess around, go play wiffle ball. Everything's so controlled now. It's a different world.
It's different. I'm ready to tap out. I've had my fill.
What?
Yeah, I'm
tap
ready to
tap out of what?
You know.
The show?
No.
Like today?
No. Today, I love the show. Having fun. I'm saying, like, life. Like, when it's over, I accept it. I'm ready. It's different. Like you said, it's too. We've evolved. It's
Oh.
I do.
Yeah, I do. I know what
like,
you mean.
Like you,
there's a lot wrong with this world,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. So not that I want to
tap out.
Yeah, but I'm ready. Like,
well, you're not ready. Your daughter's three. Don't even get her. Don't say that.
Well, that's the
ready.
Only thing. Everything else, take me now.
What
I'm
about
ready.
Your wife? I knew I'd get that reaction from him.
What?
He's smiling.
What'd you say?
Sorry,
Hoff was talking in my ear. BT and Sal back on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call, which we'll do in just a little bit.
That's right. It's time for BT and Sal's football picks brought to you by ELAC A25, Building Our Future, and by London Menswear brand Charles Tur with Shop Your New Favorites at ctshirts.com.
It is time for the Perfect Parlay Pick segment. Week 7 moving right along in this NFL season. Nobody cashed out the Perfect Parlays last week, although we did have some money line winners. I had, who did the Jets lose to again?
I forgot at this point.
Yeah, I know.
They got crushed by the Steelers.
I had the Steelers and the Giants, so I only won 5 points. You had the opposite, so you won 5. Hoff actually won both those.
He did. He had the
Eagles and the Steelers, so Hoff gaining some ground. Right now I'm in first with 80. BT, you're in second with 65. Certainly striking distance. Hoff in third with 55, so kind of jumbled together. Two team is worth 25 points, three team 50 points, four team parlay 100 points. BT, take it away.
All right, so here we go. Thank you very much for that music, Mr. Boyle. Last time, yeah, we both won a few times this year. Hoff's won a little bit, defending champ. We'll give him his props there. Not going to win again this year, but we'll give him props from last year. So we've all been pretty good. And the way I do this, when I get on a little bit of a heat, or I do this when I bet real money, I go for more. I don't get conservative. I get more aggressive, right? Well, once I lose off that, now I got to go back to what maybe got me in a decent spot. So instead of a three-teamer, a very quick two-teamer, I want to get back to these Yankee calls, so I'm going to do this fast. Detroit, -11, hosting the Titans. I don't like laying 11 points to anybody, but listen, at this point of the year, while it's not December, you already know who's good and you know who's not. You know who, and I think more specifically, you know who's fairly inept. And the Titans aren't, and they are just inept. They're bad, man. And Detroit is incredibly creative on offense, so I think they're going to score some points. So I'm not incredibly fearful of the -11. Detroit, -11, hosting the Titans over at Ford Field. Give me Detroit. And up next, hey, listen, the Jets got a receiver. Did he catch a touchdown, a new guy? No. The Bills got a receiver. Did he catch one? Of course he did, because he's on the Bills. Amari Cooper and the Bills in Seattle. Now, Bills are -3 in one of the historically tougher venues in the NFL. I got a little secret for everybody. That venue was generally tough because the teams that they had were really good. So there's a connection there. Now, I'm not saying that this Seattle team is bad. They're not. They're competitive. But we saw the Giants rolling in there, and the Giants abused them a little bit. And I think the Bills, while they might not abuse them, the Bills will win, and it's a fairly nominal lay, which is 3 points. So I'm going to lay it with the Bills. So number two, two-teamer, in summation, Detroit -11 hosting the Titans. Give me the Lions. Bills -3 all the way up and out in Seattle. Hoffy, what you got?
Ooh. I hope this is the clean version. So listen. Last week, I did a pretty good job of picking the Giants and Jets for both lose. I'm going for a twofer here, and I'm going to go with both local teams. So let's hear this one out here, okay? The Jets are terrible. The Patriots even worse. There is no way if the Jets come to town or come back on Monday and they don't cover this -7, they are officially done in my books. Let them win the game. It's not good enough. They have to go if they want to be relevant this entire season. The Jets have to go out and dominate this game.
this is it for me. So the -7, it's for them and for me. So I'm going Jets, -7 over the Patriots. Is it -7 still?
Yes.
Okay, it's probably going to go the other way. Listen, quick question for you. But I don't want to interrupt your flow. Quick one for you?
Yeah, go for it.
Any reservation, Rodgers' hammy's barking. First rollout, if he's out of the games, Tyrod Taylor going to cover that number?
I actually don't mind Tyrod Taylor. Okay. I think he's a good enough quarterback that can keep his team afloat, no questions asked. If the Patriots are this bad and the Jets are quote-unquote this good and have any inclination of going to the playoffs and being a good team, they have to demolish the Patriots. So, -7 Jets in New England. And then in Pittsburgh on Monday night, I'm taking the Giants +6 because I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to dominate. They don't listen, I know they dominated the Jets, which is crazy, but the Giants typically keep these games nice and close. I see it a field goal game. Well, the Giants may not win, but they're not going to get blown out by 6 points or more. So I'm taking the Giants +6.
Those are risky plays, man. Giants O line.
I like the Giants. I was going to go with the Giants myself. I can't. Because you know me. I get sucked in. Last week, it goes, give me big blue. And again, they lay an egg. So I can't go big blue. Even though I like big blue, I can't. I'm going to go three teamer. Didn't cash last week. I'm not playing conservative. I'm going for the kill. I like Carolina on the road. 10.5 points. Young is going to get the start for Carolina. 10.5 points. Yes, it's on the road. And yes, Carolina stinks. And with Young, who knows? Dude, Denver can't score. I don't care what they did last. Like, Denver has a problem moving the football with Bo Nix. You watch them play, you just know that they're more of a defensive team. They'll win the game, but 10.5 points? I'll take my chances against the Broncos with a quarterback who's got limits throwing the football. They don't got good receivers. They're just not a good offensive team. So I'm starting with 10.5. Give me the bad, awful Carolina Panthers and their quarterback, Bryce Young. It sounds crazy, but 10.5 is a lot. So that's game number one. Game number two, the Miami Dolphins are back in business. Tua Tagovailoa is back at quarterback, clearing concussion protocol, BT. He's going to get the start. Arizona could be tricky. Miami laying 4 over Arizona. I like it. I think with Tua, just take the Dolphins to a whole new level. Matter of fact, if he were healthy, they would have been my pick to win the division, which, by the way, would have been up for grabs. I actually think I did pick Miami to go over and win the division, but obviously with him hurt, that wasn't the case. Watch their weapons explode. Watch how different it is. Miami now back in the NFL with a real quarterback with Tua. I think they blow out the Cardinals and get the win there. The final game, I'm going to go to Cincinnati. Give me the Bengals -3 over the Eagles. I think the Bengals are starting to click. They're a good team. We saw them a little bit Sunday night with the Giants struggle. But I think the Bengals are a good football team. I think they're better than Philadelphia. They're at home. I think they win the game. So I lay 3. Burrow, Chase, you know the drill by now. Bengals will start to right the ship and become one of the better teams in the NFL like we thought all year long. So in summation, Carolina on the road +10.5 in Denver. Miami -4 over Arizona. And the Bengals -3. Over the Eagles. Now for the money line picks, and I think this is where it gets fun this week.
These are easy to make this week.
I'm taking the Pats and I'm taking the Giants.
Okay.
I'm going a little bit of an upset. Here's why I'm taking New England. I think the Jets are dead. I think they're broken. Now, logically, you'd think, well, the Patriots stink too, and there's no way the Jets could lose, right? Like, I get that. I see that part of it, but a little part of me doesn't believe that that's the case. I believe anything's possible, and I do believe the Jets are a broken football team. I'm going to take my chances. I know it's a big underdog. I'm going to go New England, and I'm going to take the Giants here because I do think the Giants keep that game close, and I would not be shocked if they won. So I'll go upsets with both the Patriots and the Giants.
I mean, listen, at this point with the Jets, on paper, anything's possible. I do think that they win this game. I don't think it's incredibly impressive. I don't know if I touch the 7 or 7.5 if it gets up to that by kick. I don't think that they mop them. They'll win the game. So I'm going to take the Jets, and the issues on the Giants' offensive line, and Jermaine Illuminor, our buddy, did not practice today. We've heard that in Bogus' update. So even if he does play over the weekend, hopefully he does because, you know, we're rooting for the big man. Is he compromised? Thomas is already out. Daniel Jones is doing nothing. Like, Watt's going to get loose. Russell Wilson got a little mojo going. Najee Harris runs hard. I think the Steelers are going to kind of beat up on the Giants. Give me the Jets and give me the Steelers.
Chance for you to gain 10 points
on
me.
That's right. Big one.
What do you got, Huff?
Well, listen, I'm going to be the big winner here because I'm taking the Jets because it's guaranteed they're going to beat the Patriots. Though it better be more than +7, I'll tell you that much. And then I'm going Giants. I feel good. I'm not saying that they're going to demolish the Steelers, but I'm telling you this much. The Steelers got lucky last week because they played a bad, disgusting New York Jets team. The Giants are going to be more motivated. They're going to Their defense is going to get to Russell Wilson, unlike the Jets did, and it's going to be a much closer game, and the Giants are going to win by a field goal.
Agreed. The Giants are going to play better defense against the Jets, which is the main than the Jets did against the Steelers, which is the main reason why I would take them. All right, that does it for the Perfect Parlay Pick segment, Week 7.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Thanks, Call of the Day, brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Tino's in Staten Island. What's up, Tino?
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? Always a pleasure speaking to you guys. Before I go into my my Yankees point, I sent you guys a couple days ago, on Tuesday, 5 bottles of boxed water.
I didn't get anything.
You got nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was shipped out on Tuesday.
All right. Well, so maybe we'll look for it.
Yeah, look for it. It's a box water. It comes from the Alps of Albania. It's a new company that I just started with my brother-in-law.
I got you. Let's get to the Yankees. Yeah. We do it. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's not free advertisement. Let's go. Yankee stuff. We appreciate it. Let's go.
Of course. So on the Yankees, on Judge, obviously that's the hot topic. It's put up or shut up for Judge. I'm a big Judge guy, but if you go by the history, playoff time, he chokes. And let's call it out what it is. It's either he strikes out or he'll get a walk. You can't go up to the plate and get 3 strikeouts and 1 walk. It's not going to cut it. So I'm with you, BT.
Yep.
He's got to produce in the playoffs. He's got to produce. That's it.
But there's a big difference. Yeah, and look, we've been talking about that all day long. And in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I thought for sure the caller today was going to be Taco Frank, who came in, brought lunch for everybody. Good to see him. Now, you know why he comes in on the on this day, right?
I believe it's an anniversary of sorts. And, you know, I'm sorry, as your partner, I should have wished you a happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Taco Frank, who I've met before today, and Sal became buddies with, always finds it within his spirit and the resources to celebrate all the years of a non-Mets championship. Right. So this is year number, what are we at now?
38, I believe. Something like that, whatever it was.
He presented you with a beautiful cake.
Oh, 38, because it'll be 40 years in 26, obviously, 2026.
Correct. Happy anniversary, 38 years and counting, no World Series for the Mets. So Taco just being a good buddy, as he always is.
Yeah, and we do appreciate it. You know, guys love it, and bringing some food for the station.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, it was nice to hang out with him and his son Frankie. But it is also a special day today. I don't know if you get into this, and I heard other people talking about it. I can't get into it. But being that it is such a special day in Mets history.
Yep.
You know whose birthday it is today?
That's Juan Soto's.
Soto.
His
birthday just so happens to be on the last day the Mets won a World Series back in the day. Now, how fitting would it be, BT, to have Juan Soto, the birthday boy, come to the Mets next year and end that long drought on his birthday?
Well, I mean, if you'd like to send him congratulations tonight when he goes yard on his birthday, by all means, be my guest. I mean, so you didn't do this, but others did. Let me get this straight. I understand the Yanks were in the World Series. Of course you wish your Mets were still playing.
Yes.
I wish we were playing, the Mets were not. All right. I mean, you got a contingent of fans throwing parades for a team that won nothing. I mean, you're getting wrapped up in his birthday.
All kidding aside, I did that just to tie it into the 86 Mets thing. But all kidding aside, I don't, like, why do we care about somebody's birthday? Who gives a crap?
Yeah, it's just a point of reference. Now, if he was like 30, 31, then I'd say, well, it's only 300. I care when it comes to how old are you, which means how long will you be in your prime, which means
that's
how much money will you get. That's all I care about with the birthdays.
Oh, happy birthday. Like, yeah, that's great.
Well, I mean, happy birthday for sure, but not.
Well, why? Who cares?
Well, like, everybody's got birthdays. This is Juan Soto. Happy birthday, Juan.
What are we, 7 years old? Like, birthdays are big deals when you're a kid.
Oh, you're two.
Yeah, you want to celebrate your kid's birthday. That's one thing. Like, oh, Juan Soto on his birthday, and he's going to hit a couple of home runs on his, or whatever it was. Like, this is not just Soto. This is to everybody. And they're making a big deal about it during the playoffs. I forget even who it is because I don't care about it. But whoever, could have been a Met, I forget. But, oh, yeah, it's his birthday. Like, yeah, it's great. It's his birthday. Who cares? It's an adult. It's his birthday. What, do you want to send him some cupcakes and a toy?
Hey, you know what game he wanted to play tonight at his request, even though he is an adult? It's called Pin the Tail on the Dodger instead of the Donkey. Hee-haw. How's that sound?
Not bad. Dave is in Smithtown, New York. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Love the show. It's the midday version of Mike and the Mad Dog. I love it. Anyway,
you
know, Sal, I'm your age. We were growing up.
There was no interleague play. There was no MLB package. So the World Series is a little more special.
That's a good point.
Two things for you.
No interleague. Yeah, no. Things. It's an excellent point, Dave, that we didn't touch on before. You didn't get the access to all the out-of-town games
good point.
As you do now, and there was no interleague play. So it felt more special.
Yeah, cool. Two things. Number one, listen, you're only going up against the NFL on Monday night. I mean, I know tonight there's college, tomorrow there's college. But the other thing, too, don't you think it would help baseball? Like, I'll give you an example. Next Wednesday, it's going to be a gorgeous 70-degree day. Would it be such a great concept to have an afternoon game, a nice 5 o'clock evening game?
No,
in the shadow
Dave.
Of the sunsetting.
Dave,
thanks for your time.
No.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, no, I get it. No. Because, and I was going to ask him how old he is if he has kids. I mean, it's not, when you become a parent, it's not about you. It's about the kid's schedule. And
yeah, that's why I don't want to become a parent. I
want
you want
to keep
me.
It about you. Yeah, I know. It's tough to give up that selfishness. Yeah. Trust me. That's why we try to hang on to it in certain spots.
I know. 3 years in, though, I let it go. I'm like,
you understand
it's not about
now. Yes. And wait till Sammy starts running around, playing a little soccer, doing a little dance regularly.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Now you're pushing it.
But you're going to do something, though, whatever it is. And we have a football game tomorrow. We have cheer tomorrow. We have a baseball playoff game tomorrow. So, and I'm not alone. I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm unique. I mean, these calendars are filled up the wazoo between all the fall sports, and kids are playing hockey now. So if you do that, it's more of a disservice to the baseball fan because everybody's pretty much, even if it's at 5, you're just getting home, kids are showering, and getting out of uniform, you got to eat. That's not good enough.
You're never going to be able to appease everybody. There are some people that work at night that would rather an earlier game, or younger kids, like your son Colt wouldn't give a crap less. I know you're saying about the games, but like if it were 5:08, he'd be locked in.
Yeah, if he was home.
Yeah, okay. Well, right, that's true. I know. Like you said, everybody's got a different schedule. I do think 7 o'clock is a nice happy medium.
Perfect. 7:08.
I mean, it should be at night because the majority of people are done with work and there is no, especially weeknights, there is no, I mean, there are certain games, of course, but I mean, look, you got to make a decision. Can't be
it's true.
You want to play hockey? You might miss a Rangers Stanley Cup final game. You want to play baseball? You might miss a World Series of football, whatever the schedule is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to make a choice. For me, I'd choose to watch the games myself. It's so rare and special. I just think 8:08 starts are like, and again, West Coast, take that into account too. So it's 5:08 their time. You're going to start it any sooner there.
That's tough. And you've got to, even though we really don't care about California at all,
still.
But you got to factor that in. I mean, if there's a wobbly first or second inning, I said this to you before, you could be looking up at your clock tonight. It's 9:47. It's the top of the third. I mean, that's a late, late night.
Do you think it's, and see, to me, the bigger picture would be, forget about you or I or what we would prefer.
Yep.
What do you think's best for the growth of the sport?
7:07.
Yeah, like you can't say that if there's a crappy couple of innings tonight and it's 9:45 in the third inning.
Yep.
That's good for the sport. It's not good for anybody. It's certainly not good to grow the sport.
It's not. Listen, the parenting and the schedules, and Hoff is neck deep in this as well. When we were growing up, now we played on teams, but it was totally different. You played in the street. And when it was time to eat, you came in. And, of course, you had your teams on the weekend and maybe a practice during the week.
Right.
But it was always in the street. Mom says, come eat. You come in and eat. During the summer, you go back out. You play till the sun goes down. But now, even if they wanted to say, you know what? I want the young boys and girls to really fall in love with baseball. First pitch is going to be at 3:37. Almost everybody's home from school. You think you're doing the right thing, but the way the schedules are structured, they're going to be at one of a club practice, a rec practice, dance, cheer, football, hockey, fall baseball, private lessons. So it's actually worse. So at least they get to watch, even though 8:07 stinks for a young kid, they'd at least get to watch it uninterrupted, even if they can, the 5 innings, rather than missing pretty much everything.
That's fair. Joe is in Hohokus. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? You remember where I'm from. I want to just mess with BC. Good show, guys.
Thank you.
So I know the Yankees always have all the ghosts in the past and, you know, the old Yankee Stadium, but I'm with Sal here. I think Dodgers in 6.
Okay.
And it's November 1st. Is Fernando Valenzuela's birthday, and Game 6 is scheduled on his same birthday. So I know BT, I know you had the whole parade yesterday. Well, you had the whole parade scheduled, but breaking a little chops here. Dodgers in 6.
And by the way, it's not exactly a brazen pick. I mean, the Dodgers are really good, and yeah, I'm nervous. I know that the Dodgers can easily beat the Yankees if the Yankees don't play well. So listen, against the Guardians and the Royals, the few spurts the Yankees didn't play well, the opponents weren't good enough to make them look bad. If the Yankees are sloppy on the bags or leaky out of the pen or their studs don't hit, the Dodgers can embarrass the Yankees a few games. I am well aware of that, but I also have an advert. Now, it's not a birthday, and rest in peace to the great Fernando. His name came up earlier in the show. I remember getting a 7-Eleven Slurpee the first time I went to Disney with my family. Cecil Cooper, Dave Winfield, I had my consecutive nights, and Fernando. So, I mean, I loved him. He was amazing. But I've got a date for you as well. It's not a birthday. It's an anniversary. How about Mr. November? Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
A little Jeter action?
Yeah.
So, Fernando's birthday, and I'm not trying to minimize it. Good things have happened for the Yankees as well on November 1st. So it depends on your perspective. It depends on your rooting interest. I think most objective analysts, meaning non-Yankee, non-Dodger fans, think this series is going deep. And they either think it's Dodgers in six, Dodgers in seven, Yankees in six, or Yankees in seven.
Yeah, and which is why I went Dodgers in five, because like you said before, well, Dodgers in six is not exactly brazen, so I like to make a little, you know, different type of prediction. I'll go Dodgers in five. Either way, forget about the exact games. The Dodgers are winning this series. I would actually be surprised. It's not minimizing the Yankees. I just think the Dodgers are better. And I think it's their year. I know you keep talking about it's the Yankees year.
I wasn't sure if this was going to be the Yankees year. This is kind of a more,
recently. Recently you've been saying it. Yeah. I think it's the Dodgers year. They haven't won a legit one yet. They've been there all the time. They're the better team. They looked as good as you could look against the Mets. I do think the Mets are still a good team that just got beat by a better team. I think ultimately the Yankees, you're going to be beat by a better team.
Listen, at the end of the day, the thing that we tend to do is, from a Yankee perspective, we tend to fixate on the deficiencies that we worry about and maybe gloss over some other team's deficiencies. While the Dodgers might have a slightly better lineup, I think there's a good chance the Yankees tattoo Flaherty tonight, get the first win, probably come back 1-1. Either way, I'm pumped. I'm on tomorrow from 1 to 4, following our guy Joe Beningo on the Fan. So let's go. It's the World Series. It's time.
I'll be on Sunday 3 to 6 as well to recap both the first two games. All kidding aside, good luck to you tonight.
Hey, do you mean that?
Yes, I do. You went on the Yankee fans. I do. I mean that.
I could tell.
Not that I'm rooting for it, but good luck.
I could tell the sincerity in your eyes, actually. This time I believe it.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Boyle and Hoff as well. Thanks for listening to WFAN's Yankees Game Day on BT and Sal, presented by Travel Guard. Travel plans don't always go as expected. Protect your journeys with a travel insurance plan from Travel Guard.